Our scripture lesson today comes from the letter of James, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 and 13 to 16. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while the one who is poor, you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, who needs them? I tell you what, with life so busy, something's got to give, right? Well, research tells us what we've long suspected. Friends are actually really, really, really important. And when the medical community chimes in, the value of friendship is dramatically underscored. A Yale University study of 10,000 seniors showed that having friends reduced the risk of death by 50% over a 5-year period. Friends can help you reduce stress, improve your quality of life, live longer, improve your marriage, and derive more joy from your life. So there you have it. There is value in having friends over the long term. No surprise there, I'm sure. The Epistle James takes it to another level, however. It leads us to ask some important questions of ourselves. You see, I have found that Christians tend to, well, exaggerate their claims on friendship. Every church I have served has told me in the interview process, somewhere in that line, how friendly they were. "We've got the friendliest church in town." Some were. Some were less so. Some would walk right past a stranger to talk to the people they already know, who they've known for years and years, the people with whom they are closest. I'm not sure that's friendly. We'd never stoop to the behavior of the nearsighted usher in today's text, who gladly welcomes the rich and ignores the poor, would we? The author of James argues that it's not enough to assert or lay claim to love and friendship, claiming to be the friendliest church. That doesn't cut it. There's got to be signs. There's got to be signs and evidence of friendship, or both the friendship and faith are dead. Partiality, not a sign of love and friendship. Withholding forgiveness, not a sign. So what is? What makes us friends? I think a friend is someone who knows us and knows who we are, but loves us anyway. Or to put it another way, your friend is the person who knows all about you and still likes you. That's Elbert Hubbard said that. Bernard Metzer said, "A true friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg even though they know you're slightly cracked." Well, our theme today is certainly centered around friendship, which is a good foundation for all of life. One of the most important relationships is that of friendship. We can have acquaintances, servants, masters, contemporaries, employees, etc. But the ones that really matter are your friends. Unless they are your servant or roommate, your spouse is your friend. Unless they are your master or servant, your parents, your teachers are friends. Debbie Stanton mentioned last week, enemies, even your enemies, especially your enemies, are your friends if they matter. You see, a friend is someone who helps you overcome yourself, and someone who is your ally in your endeavor to become more than who you are. There are many, many different kinds of friendship, different roles that friends can play, but that is the common theme. Overcoming self, of course, is the central task of any human. That's why friendship is so important. Of the different roles of friendship, there are two important poles. One role is of the friend is to serve as anchor, understanding, safety, home territory. That role gives us the ability, the power to extend ourselves, the ability to take risk without risking everything. The other role of the friend is to serve as challenge, creativity, and going beyond self. This is the role that helps us break through and extend, the ability to take risk well and effectively. Almost all friends will, over the course of a friendship, play both roles. A parent must push and protect. It's a delicate balance. The particular mixture is a matter of need, capacity, proclivity, sensitivity, wisdom, and luck. The author of James would tell us that friendship is rooted in love. Friendship requires the elements of love, trust, confidence, pride, empathy, care. A good friend, of course, possesses wisdom, insight, and skill. But any friendship must be built on the foundation of love. Without love, there is no safety. Without love, there is no alliance in risk. Friendship must be completely absent of distrust, contempt, and fear. Fear is particularly challenging because it is the unfortunate turning of care. Fear turns care into attachment, preventing growth and development, turning health into weakness. An enemy who fears you is no friend. An enemy who you despise is no friend. An enemy who you can love is friend, one of the most powerful forms of friendship. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the essential question is, who is our neighbor? That's our essential question every day of our life. And the answer is clearly anyone and everyone, especially those in need. Who is our friend? Anyone and everyone, especially those in need. If it lacks necessary elements, a relationship cannot be a friend. A parent can raise a child for a lifetime. But if there is fear or lack of love, there is no friendship. Becoming a good friend is the highest endeavor, to be known and to know. Struggling to overcome yourself and therefore being able to help your friend in their struggle. Taking risks, paying the price, developing wisdom and being able to share this wisdom. Looking into the abyss and bringing back the monsters. A teacher can be a friend, but every friend is a teacher. Friendship requires variety and balance. A friend who plays the role of anchor too much can generate dependency or indifference or sadness. It's draining to be an anchor all the time. You can destroy yourself and your friend by turning a friend into a crutch. A friend who plays the role of challenger too much can generate recklessness, malaise, jealousy. You can destroy yourself and your friend by turning a friend into an addiction. Friendship is risky. It is par excellence. If you're not taking risk with your friends, then you're not putting yourself at risk with your friends. Then you're not being the friend that God calls you to be. Friendship is a precious, precious thing, and it must be treated as a rare blessing of God. An opportunity for friendship must be taken. New ventures in friendship are things that we need to do, extend ourselves beyond the people we know and have known forever. Anyone and everyone, that's our calling to be to our friendship list. If you have friends in order to take, you have friends in order to take risks. If your endeavor fails, well, it's your friends that you'll turn to for balance and strength and confidence and power. Thus, as a friend, we must counsel where wisdom sees foolishness, but never allow mere foolishness to wound or to weak. Spite, anger, and above all, fear must be avoided. Grant your wisdom, extend your strength. And then if your friend continues to take risks you believe are foolish, prepare to provide an anchor. As long as it contains the necessary elements, any friendship, any relationship can be friendship. The briefest encounters can be friendship. Anyone and everyone. Sifra Penzias is a rabbi, and she told of a story of her great Aunt Susie. Aunt Susie rode a bus home a snowy evening in Munich of Nazi Germany and experienced friendship. That day, suddenly, SS stormtroopers stopped the bus, began examining the identification papers of all the passengers. Most were annoyed. Few were terrified. Jews were told to leave the bus, get on the truck around the corner. Susie watched from her seat in the rear of the bus as the soldiers systematically went row by row. She began to tremble. Tears started coming down her face when the man next to her, a total stranger, noticed she was crying. He quietly asked her, "Why are you crying?" She whispered back, "I don't have the papers you have. I'm a Jew. They're going to take me." The man immediately exploded with disgust. He began to curse and scream at her, "You stupid expletive." He roared, "I can't stand to be around you." And the SS men came running up. "What's this yelling about?" "Damn you," he said to the woman. "My wife has forgotten her papers again, and I'm so fed up with her." The soldiers laughed, moved on to the next aisle, leaving her alone. She never saw that man again, never knew his name, of the stranger, the neighbor, the friend on the bus who stood up for her. If your God leads you to hate other groups, there's something wrong in that relationship. God has called us to love, to be a friend to anyone and everyone. And finally, let me leave you with these two thoughts. Abraham Lincoln said the best way to destroy an enemy is to make the person a friend. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only way to have a friend is to be one. Thanks be to God. Amen.